Hello, welcome back to our study of Leviticus. The last time we were together, we looked at the first three verses of chapter 10 in Leviticus, but I want us just to go back and remind you of some things that have happened here in Leviticus. If you'll remember, Aaron and his sons are in this period of consecration where they're being set apart for the work of the Lord, for the ministry of the Lord, to serve the Lord. And this time of consecration is so serious, you'll see that they're set apart for 7 days, and they have to stay in this tabernacle complex for 7 days, and they cannot come out. Now, if you'll remember, in chapter 9, right at the end, let's just go back and look together, please, at verses 23 and 24. And I'm going to read those. I'm going back to chapter 9. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord, and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. Now, before I even read in chapter 10, just keep in mind where this fire came from, okay? This fire came from the Lord. And remember, during this time of setting apart the priests and setting apart the high priest, they're going through lots of procedures that God himself has said, this is what I want done, and this is how I want it done. And
now, do you want to read
And in chapter 10, let's take a look at these first couple verses. So the fire came out from before the Lord. The people had fallen on their faces. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is it that the Lord spoke, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace.
Now you've really got to get a visual of what's going on with the consecration. This is an extremely sacred time. And there's several things we want to say here. Number one, God determines the period of time of consecration, not you. Okay? Just because a person gets born again doesn't mean they're ready to go preach the gospel. Okay? You can witness. You follow me? But here's what we want to look at. God sets the protocol. In this particular setting, it says that Nadab and Abihu, because of some phenomenal thing initiated by God, had occurred, they took it upon themselves to offer incense. It was not in God's mandate, not in his protocol. And it's called strange fire. Strange fire being what God did not initiate. Man initiated it. You with me? And it cost these two men their lives. And if you'll allow me to paraphrase this like this, God says, I'm not playing around. When I tell you to do it this way, you do it this way. I will be sanctified in front of the people. I feel like there's a lot of strange fire that's offered before the Lord on any given week, any Sunday, if you worship on Sunday. We're not going to get into all that. But here's the thing. Is God initiating the worship? See, in John, the fourth chapter, if you look at verse 24, God is spirit. And those who worship Him, now note this is not an option, it's mandatory, must worship Him in spirit and truth. It says God is seeking that type of worshiper. Now I want you to think about that. If He's seeking, they must not be obvious. Right? I dare say that much of what we call worship, God would not identify as worship. Because it's not initiated by the Spirit of God. So often what we call worship is initiated by emotion. We get the right music, we get the right song, and what do? We stir the people and call that a worship service. But what would God call it? Would He call it strange fire? Is it something that He's initiated? Now in this period of consecration, it's a time to where you're learning to do things God's way. As Heather mentioned earlier, God gave Moses the mandate. Then Moses conveys this to Aaron, who is set apart as high priest, and to Aaron's four sons, who are set apart as priests. In the time of consecration, you're learning to do things God's way. And this is where I feel like so many people miss it. They want to jump ship. They want to, because of some event, then they want to initiate out of their flesh what they would call worship to God, to burn incense. And God's not impressed with it at all, you understand? God's looking on the heart, not what you do outside. Religion will work you silly doing good works. They'll have you going door to door and handing out flowers and doing all kinds of things. But yet, my Bible teaches me that unless the Spirit, unless God, draws a man to Jesus, he can't come. And so if the Spirit of God is not convicting a person, what's happening? This is where we need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, to where we're following God's way, God's method, to where we're put ourselves aside, put our opinions aside. Well, I think this is right, and I think we should do this, and so often it's done off of a popular vote. And I've learned from the scriptures that the majority is wrong. God is always right. So in the consecration, God is saying, all right, get your mind off of yourself. Do things my way. Every one of us goes through a consecration period. Now, how long that is, we don't put a time on. How long will it take to get us to do things God's way? How long will it take us to come to the recognition that God is always right? And God does not need us thinking for Him. We need God thinking for us. That's why we emphasize the Word of God. Now, isn't the Word God's thoughts written down? God spoke this, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. Holy men of God, moved by the Spirit, not by their own ideas, you understand? And so God is speaking to them and they're writing down what God said. So this God's thoughts that become what we call the written Word of God. This is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. They have Nadab and Abihu devised their own way. And that's what so many people are doing today. They're not wanting to stay consecrated to God. Now, God selected them. You have to look at this. God selected these men. But just because God selected you doesn't mean God's going to approve of you doing things that God's not initiating. The people may applaud you, but not God. You know, Heather and I were talking about this earlier today. You know, from the outside, people would think, oh boy, you know, here's Nadab and Abihu, they've done a good thing. They're offering incense to the Lord. Now, they're offering incense out of their flesh, not by the instruction of God. And so many people today, that's their worship. It's out of their flesh. It's from a natural perspective. It's not a spiritual perspective. And the only way you can worship God is out of the Spirit. You can't worship Him out of your head. Mental ascension. But that's what most church services are calling worship. Or 10 o'clock worship service, or 11 o'clock worship service, whatever. Worshiping who? Is it God? Is God actually being worshiped in spirit and in truth? If not, you're just going through the motions and deceiving yourself. And God won't accept it. No more than He would accept Nadab and Abihu's strange fire. You follow me? You see the principle in all this? When you first look at this, you think, wow, that's unfair. Says who? Since when do we think that we can go call God into question? We have to understand the ways of God. And God laid the ways out. And Moses has given them step by step. Until you can follow the Spirit of God step by step, you're not consecrated. You're still in process. You with me? They never passed the test. They didn't do it God's way. Do you want to say anything to that?
Well, I want to look at that word strange. And if y'all will pull it up, check me out. But I believe the definition of that word is profane. Is that what you're saying? You're saying the same thing I am. Profane, contemptible. That puts it more in perspective for me. The Lord considered this profane. He wanted no part of what man thought was a really good thing. to recognize the Lord. We want to give you this gift. We want to do this for you. But we want to do it our way. And I look at this and I think, and we've said this so many times in the class, this is a matter of the heart. And God knows the heart of man. But when we take things and we want to do it our way, because we want it our way, it's not pleasing to God. As simple as that may sound, but we do it every day. It can be so subtle and so simple. I think this song should be played in the church service. I'm just going to go hand this over to the musicians and have them play this in the church service. Well, unless the Spirit of the Lord has told the people that are playing that, handling the music in charge of that, that God has assigned, you understand? It's like strange fire. Does that make sense to you? And I think about doing things God's way, and I realize we are in the Old Testament, and we are living under a new covenant, and I thank the Lord, I'm not saying this lightly, that Jesus has fulfilled this law for us. However, for us to approach the Lord, God still has His standard. We have to be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ Himself to go before the Father. And that hasn't changed. And so you think about the protocol, there's still a protocol in place. And we can't follow God's protocol without being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So without the Holy Spirit living inside your heart, without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to me it's impossible to do things God's way. You have to have the Spirit of God to know.
You can't be led by the Spirit without the Spirit.
So this profane fire, contemptible fire before the Lord of what man would say, boy, that's a really good thing. And even with ministry, you think about the things that we do for ministry. And hear my heart on this. Hear my heart, please. Feeding the hungry, clothing people that need clothes, giving shoes, you name it. But unless the Spirit of God has told you to do that, you're operating outside of the will of God. Does that make sense?
Works for faith.
Yes. And we can get into that and get trapped by that and get trapped by the mindset of works without hearing the Spirit of God and hearing the Word of God for what is it that I'm supposed to do? Because you could make the argument, well, feeding the hungry, that's a good thing. They need it. Well, of course they do. Sure they do. But has the Spirit of God told you to do that? And it sounds harsh. But the bottom line is you see violations where people act outside of the will of God, what the Spirit of the Lord wants to happen because of what they personally want.
Nails of the body did a work, but it wasn't a work of righteousness.
No.
And so this is what you're saying so often in the religious arena. You're seeing a lot of good works, but they're not works of righteousness. People think they get the favor of God by doing this, doing that. And the truth of the matter is, the only way you're going to get the favor of God is through Jesus Christ. And if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you have the favor of God. And He's looking for fruit. You see, Jesus, in the teaching there, what we commonly call the Sermon on the Mount, what's being looked for? Fruit. Fruit. Not leaves, not works, but fruit. You know the tree by the fruit. And God's looking for fruit of the Spirit, fruit produced out of the Spirit. When I look at this with Nadab and Abihu, I just see two guys that have a lot of zeal. But their zeal is not according to knowledge. And their zeal costs them their lives. Just because a person is zealous does not mean he's correct. Think about it. God wants us to be zealous, but that zealous for God should be in agreement with the will of God. What's God initiating? You know, here again, growing up in church, we were like puppets. All right, everybody stand up. Everybody turn to page so-and-so in the hymn book. Everybody raise your hand. And all you're doing is fulfilling the desire of whomever's leading. You follow me? What does God want? I've been in settings to where I'm actually oblivious to what's going on around me. My mind's on the Lord. And yet people think I'm the stick in the mud because I'm not doing everything their way. You know, want to make you jump, want to make you shout, want to make you dance, and all this type stuff. How about an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that will produce fruit? How about being lost in the Spirit of God to where you're not interested in what's going on around you? It's amazing how we talk about Jesus, but we prevent people from entering into the intimacy with Jesus. Religion talks about Jesus, but they want you to follow them. I'll talk to you about God. I'll talk to you about dying and going to heaven. But while you're here on earth, you dance to our music. You follow our rules. You follow our regulations. I don't want you following me. I want you to follow Jesus. You follow me? Now, if I'm following Jesus, that's a safe place to be. But if you've got your mind on the Lord, whatever happens to me is not going to affect you. And we have too many preacher worshipers. And we need God worshipers to have their mind on God. And so we go through this consecration. And really, this is what Jesus was teaching when he said, if you're going to be my disciple, count the cost. You're going to have to deny yourself. And you're going to have to take up the cross, that instrument of death, that dying to yourself daily. To where you're not calling the shots now. You're listening to him. We were talking this afternoon, and I said, you think about this. So I say, I'm a disciple of Jesus. And Jesus says, how about going over to such and such a village, and when you enter into that village, you're going to find a colt tied there. Unloose that colt and bring him to me. Yeah, right. I mean, that's stealing. That's what the natural mind would say. Well, then I could get in trouble. I could get arrested for that, or I could get beaten up. Here, I'm going to go untie some man's animal and lead that thing away. But he said this, if anybody asks you what you're doing, just say the master had needs of it. So that's going to get it fixed. You see where the natural mind is?
Yeah.
We're talking about a commitment. you so believe in him that you don't think for yourself. You follow his thinking. He said, go loose the colt. Go loose the colt. Bring him to him. You understand? Now we're talking about consecration. Now we're talking about to where we're dedicated. That's why you see, in, especially in the book of Acts and afterwards, even with our early founding fathers of the church and all this, you find men who gave their lives. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Died to self. Committed to the Lord. All kinds of atrocities. Burned at the stake with the pages of the Bible. You understand? But because they were willing to be so dedicated to the Lord, a true disciple indeed, you and I have a Bible today. Interesting, isn't it? In order for us to be beneficial to other people, we have to die to self. Not what I want. Lord, what do you want? And don't wait for some booming voice to come from heaven and say, this is what I want. The first thing would be, I would like for you to read the Bible. I would like for you to get your word, my word, in your heart. I would like for you to subject yourself to my spirit to where I can lead you. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
That's where it all begins. And then you're just growing in that. It's called growing in grace. You're growing in your knowledge of the Word of God. You're growing in sensitivity to the Spirit. You're recognizing the voice of the Shepherd. And so you're not following all these strange voices out here that are saying, this is the way, this is the way, this is the way. I'm telling you right now, you pull up YouTube or whatever, and you listen to this preacher, you listen to this preacher, you listen to this preacher, they can get you as confused as Hogan's goat. One's telling you one thing, one's telling you another thing, another's telling you another thing. What does the Bible say? Not what does so-and-so say, but what does the Bible say? God wants us to be disciples of the Word,
mm-hmm.
not disciples of a group. You with me? An organization, denomination, whatever. For years, I was a disciple of the church. And there's nothing really earth-shaking about that. You're just trying to be a good little boy. You know, do what they tell you to do and just hope that you're doing good enough that you're going to go to heaven and not hell, but you have no assurance. You have no assurance. There's a lack of confidence in the inside of you. Way back in the back of your mind, you're not just 100% sure. But let me tell you one thing. When the Spirit of God indwells you, the Spirit in you cries, Abba, Father. The Spirit in you says, God is my Father. I am in the family of God. There is no question where I will be throughout eternity. I will be in His presence. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Now we're talking about commitment. Now we're talking about a consecration, a dedication, doing things God's way. But you can't do it His way if you don't pay attention to His way. And that was Nadab and Abihu's downfall. See, Eleazar and Ithamar, they didn't do that. They didn't offer strange fire. Aaron didn't offer strange fire. They initiated that. Of their own accord. And so many preachers today are initiating things and deceiving people. Now, God, and Heather mentioned this, God doesn't work with us today like He did in the Old Covenant with the people, because Jesus has already paid the penalty for the sin of humanity. And so God's not killing people today that's offering strange fire. You with me? If he were, then we'd have mass deaths every week. But the mercy of God is saying, follow me. Follow me. Do things my way. Get consecrated. And stay in that place of consecration until you're fully committed to me. And when you're fully committed to me, then you'll be ready to minister in behalf of other people. See, Aaron had to go through this consecration before he could represent the nation to God. Moses was representing the nation to God. Moses is the one that was taking them through the consecration. And so the sons of Aaron, who were the priests, they had to go through the consecration following God's protocol, learning how to do it so they could properly present the people to God and God to the people. There's a way to offer the sacrifice. You can't just say, well, slice the old animal up and throw him on the altar. No, it had to be done a certain way. The certain parts had to be given to God. I mean, there's so much involved in all this. It had to be done God's way. And so this is what the consecration period is all about. Learning to give yourself totally over to God, to where you've done everything God's way, then you're fit to minister to the Lord. You understand that's what the priests did? They ministered to the Lord. The people brought their sacrifices to the priest, and the priest offered these sacrifices to the Lord. But God wants the one that's going before him to be dedicated to him. You understand? Totally dedicated to him. Now, when I say this, I'm not talking about everybody quit your job and go into what people call full-time ministry. I'm not saying that at all. As a matter of fact, if you really serve God, most of you can serve him in a vocation. Because he needs that. But he needs representation in whatever vocation you're in. He doesn't need you promoting you. He needs you representing the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have to be consecrated to the Lord. But we're in a society today, people, well, I want people to accept me. And if I do this, people will think I'm weird. I'd rather for people to think I'm weird and God to accept me than people to accept me. And God says, why didn't you do it my way? You follow me? So there's a lot to this consecration period. And if you don't stay true to the consecration, then how can God use you? I know when the Lord told me to quit secular work and go into ministry with nowhere to preach. He didn't tell me to go pastor a church. He said, leave secular work. It's time for you to leave secular work. Then for several months, actually for nearly 2 years, the consecration was getting up every morning just like I did to go to work, getting dressed like I was going to work and studying all day and spending time with the Lord. Day after day after day. And then I reached a point in time I didn't like the way God was doing things. I didn't think he cared enough about me and my situation, so I decided I'd do something about it. One of the biggest mistakes I've ever made in my life. And boy, did I miss it. And then after the fact, I'm laying on the floor crying out to God, help. I blew it. I sinned. I repent. You understand? I acted independently of you. And God, in His mercy, bailed me out of what could have been a very earth-shaking experience for me. It could have hurt me big time financially. But God was faithful. I said, give me another chance. So you know what He did? He gave me another consecration chance. He gave me another period of time to go through the same thing again. But I said, I'm not going to blow it this time. I'm not going to blow it. I'm going to do it His way. I'm going to do it His way. I will not call anybody and ask them to preach, if I can preach. I will not say anything to anybody. If you want me there, Lord, then you put me there. And when the Lord laying in the floor of my den praying, the Lord said, you will interim pastor at such and such a church. I said, if I do, it will be because you put me there, but because no one will know what was just said except you and me. I'll not tell a living soul. Then I'll know it's God. You don't promote yourself. You follow God's direction, God's instruction. And here's what I've learned, that God's good for His word. If He says you will, you will. If you cooperate, all you have to do is cooperate. But it took the consecration. It took this period of time. We think we know it all. You know, we get saved, and we teach a Sunday school class, and we do this, and we do that, and we think, you know, boy, we're mature Christians. And like Paul writing to the Corinthians, says, you babies, you're still on the bottle. I wanted to give you meat. I couldn't give you meat. You're too immature. We see ourselves as spiritually mature. God says you're immature. Hang out with me. Stay with me. Let me bring you to a maturity. Let me mature you in the Word of God. You follow me? Stay consecrated to God. And when it's time for you to be commissioned, God's not going to miss it. It'll be done in due season. God has due season, and it probably won't be your season. Okay? All right, my time's up, so we'll stop there. I did all the talking, but...
That's okay.
Okay. There's still okay. More. There's still You'll more. Have your opportunity.
No problem.
Okay. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed, enlarge our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. Amen.
Amen.
All right, you guys have a great rest of the week. And I want you to really get serious in your thinking concerning how important the Word of God is, and learning how to do things God's way.